an injury down on the field, and it looks like Ronald Darby turned his ankle or something on that sideline. He's still down on the field.
Darby, number 41, the right corner, acquired last month from the Buffalo Bills. He's checked out by the Philadelphia medical staff.
A low hit by Darian Thompson, but Sproles gets up.
Now Hicks, who's been in and out of the lineup with this ankle. This is a big injury right now for Philadelphia.
Yeah, they could be down two of their three starting linebackers if he cannot continue.
Uh-oh, Jason Peters, Pro Bowl left tackle, is down, holding his right knee. This is a huge loss for the Eagles.
Carson Wentz has his 33rd touchdown of the season. Nobody wants to see this. Carson Wentz is going off to get looked at in the locker room.
Eagles are reporting it is a left knee injury. He is done for today. We do not know the severity of the knee injury, but I can tell you, as I was standing back by that Eagles locker room, all the support staff that was back there with Carson Wentz all walked out just shaking their heads, Joe.
Torn ACL, it appears, yes. We overcame a Pro Bowl left tackle. We overcame our middle linebacker. We've overcome a running back. We've overcome a core special teams player this year, our kicker this year. This is no different. You know, yeah, he is the quarterback of our football team. Each one of these guys that I mentioned is tough to replace. But you know what? The reason we went out and got Nick Foles is for reasons like this.
You are flying high on Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis, brought to you by LockedOnEagles.com. I am your host, Michael Kiss. You can follow my X and O work for Inside the Pylon. Follow my draft and fantasy work for BreakingFootball.com. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKissNFL. As always, I am joined by the best doggone co-host in the game, Mr. 7-Year Streak Without a Bad Day. He is Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation. And NDTScouting.com is where he does his draft work. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
I'm fine. I'm not. we're getting there, man. Like, we're getting to the point
that was
where I just can't handle anything, right? I'm flying home for the Super Bowl, watching my family and everything. I've got, like, papers due and everything. I don't even know if they're going to get done. I can't function. And it's only Tuesday that we're recording this. Like, we are dangerously close to this game, man.
Yeah, Mobile really put us behind with all the travel, and it's hard to get things done while you're there and you're focusing on the draft, and you've got the Super Bowl coming up, man. And plus, you know, all of our other life responsibilities. It's crazy. And then you have Media Day. I was like, I didn't even realize Media Day was upon us. Media Day, first thing, the piece that we opened with that ended with Nick Foles and the Doug Peterson presser. Nick Foles, man, at Media Day, talking about his little daughter and his wife being able to see him do this, reach the Super Bowl. It's been such a weird career path for him, from being the Eagles starters, having that 27-2 year, and then going on to the Rams and almost retiring from football, taking some camping or hiking or hunting trip or whatever it was, deciding that he wanted to continue to play. He lands here in Philadelphia, thinks he's just going to be the backup. Carson Wentz goes down. Now he's thrust in a position on a playoff team where he's got to go get it done for him. And you can tell that Foles, he has his life in order and he has things in perspective. He knows what's important to him. And the fact that he's using his daughter as motivation, like, he just wants her to be proud, which is so freaking cool, man. He got really emotional during that. It was a great moment.
Yeah. No, yeah, I respect that a lot. I love that a good deal. And I've been thinking about this, but kind of that last interview really spurned me to put the take out there. It's really very impressive how Nick Foles has handled all of these questions about his brush with retirement and his struggles with the passion of the game, because we very often, you know, as analysts and as fans of the game, we don't want to hear that our players consider not playing. We don't want to hear that at any time they thought to themselves, maybe I've made enough money from this and I don't care enough about this that it's time for me to start doing something else with my life.
Well, remember Sam Bradford almost had the same thing going on for him. There were rumors about that before we traded for him as well. So yeah, we definitely didn't want to hear that then.
You just don't. You want your football players. I think we instinctually forget about this, but we want them to be robots. We want them to be football playing robots who don't have opinions or like
ups or downs. Yeah.
I think about Brandon Brooks' struggles with mental health and how people responded to that. I think about the growing social justice protests and things about that. A very common thread here is we don't want our football players to do anything or think about anything or consider anything other than football. We want them to entertain us on Sunday primarily with the way they play and then say the same canned things on press conferences on Monday and then make the same comments about practice on Tuesday, Wednesday, and then make the same comments about their opponents on Thursday, and then don't go out on Friday and Saturday, God forbid, because you have to prepare for entertaining me on Sunday.
Yeah.
We just want them to follow this kind of rigid, set, put together, you know, cookie cutter way of living. And Nick Foles, firstly, was the one who, like, broke the story, right? Like, it wasn't, you know, like, from a source, Nick Foles considered retiring. It was, like, last year or 2 years ago, you know, Rams to Chiefs transition, I was considering leaving the game. I wasn't passionate about it. It wasn't fun for me to play anymore. And then he gets, the second level of what really impresses me with this is that he gets asked questions about it, and he doesn't downplay it to try to fit into that mold that I spoke of, but rather a lot of candor and a lot of dignity is the words that candor and dignity, just a lot of like panache to him, just simply saying, like that happened. That was part of my growth process. I came out on the other end of it deciding to give football a second chance. I'm here now. That was a part of it. Like, that wasn't a detriment. Like, you know, he's just very honest. Like, that was part of the experience. That was a low. I'm not going to pretend that it didn't happen. And I have so much respect for that, right? He's really refuting that robotic sort of presentation of football players in the media. And I think that's super cool. And I love to see it. And it's all culminating with him wearing really weird outfits, but also killing media day in Minneapolis and speaking about his family and everything. And I think it's really fun to watch that up against a guy like Brady, who tends to be kind of the football robot, right? Like, he obviously does different things, everything, but we very much typify Brady as the football machine, you know, like doing everything with his body possible to play football for the rest of his life. Whereas Nick Foles is like, this is a game. I consider leaving it. I'm here now. Like, let's all have real human perspective. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that juxtaposition is really interesting. And I came away really impressed with Nick Foles as a human being during that whole thing. Moving to some other media day takeaways. What was Tom Brady wearing? What was Lane Johnson wearing with those hat and glasses? What was going on with that? Tom Brady looked like, and you put it out on Twitter, looked like the kid that like tried to like buy weed.
Yeah.
Tom Brady
looked, next to Nick Foles, looked like super skinny. He was wearing like an oversized Super Bowl jacket with his hands tucked away. He was like slouched in his seat. He had this huge beanie on. And I just went back to high school where there were all those like wannabe stoners who looked at me in the homeroom when I was 16, talked about weed. I was like, dude, I have no idea what's happening right now. I have no context for this conversation. Yeah. And then Lane Johnson looked like a goon. Brandon Graham was wearing a dog mask when he was answering questions. That was killing me. I thought that was a great time. Doug Peterson in the full dad outfit. I loved that. polo tucked into the jeans. Very strong, Doug Peterson. He's so like himself. I love Dougie P. We've always talked about this for a while. I wanted to ask you this though, Mike. I've been mulling this over in my mind. You know, there's been a whole lot of Minnesota's very soft takes because they're very pissed off about the Eagles being in the Super Bowl, which I have sympathy for that. You know what I mean? Like, I think that if the roles were reversed, Philadelphia fans would be acting very similarly. I think any city's fans would be acting very similarly if they were one game away from a home Super Bowl and then got embarrassed by a team that, forgive me, is as obnoxious as Philadelphia tends to be. Like, that's fine. Let's own that. Yeah. I love the fact that we're obnoxious, I own it. Right? So I don't like, you know, to me, like, that's not a the take that they're kind of soft or whatever. Like, I don't know. I don't know how much I agree with that. I do wonder, though, and this is what I want your opinion on. How much of an effect do you anticipate the fact that the Super Bowl is in Minnesota having on Philadelphia, even from a who attends the game perspective? Because there's got to be a solid demographic of Minnesota fans at this game. There's no way it's not. You can't tell me that, you know, 1,000 Minnesota fans in that stadium didn't buy their tickets before the NFC Championship game, and now they're either, maybe they, some of them sold them, but most of them are still going to go. It's the Super Bowl, for God's sakes. How are you not going to go, right? I do sincerely think that the Eagles do take a little bit of a disadvantage being in hostile territory for a week. I do think that that has to get in your head at least a little bit, especially on Sunday.
I think it's actually the reverse. I think they actually
Oh, because the underdog that. Thing, right.
Yeah, the underdog thing. And you have these guys that you just stomped. So what do you really care what they say? And they're still coming at you. And it just adds to the motivation for them. And they've done so well to take anything thrown at them and then turn it into a positive, turn it into a motivating factor that some petty Minnesota Vikings fans that can't get over it, that won't point the finger in the right direction, are coming at them. I think they may actually kind of revel in that. Like, that's what I kind of sense from this team. Especially
makes
the
sense.
Defensive side
right.
They got, you know what I mean? The defense is probably like, yeah, like bring it on, like the heels and like wrestling or whatever.
I will be interested to see if there is a crowd noise thing, but yeah, I do definitely 100% see your point as far as this week goes.
What about Dougie Pease? He had the dad outfit, but he had the new Air Force Ones that his wife bought him. Is that cool? Eagles by 50? I don't know sneakers that
I don't know what that is at all. That's a shoe. Right. I literally have no idea what that was. So I cannot help you here. Locked On Eagles listeners, hit Mike and I up on Twitter and let us know what the footwear deal is for Dougie Fresh.
Yeah, I know there was a song about it by Nelly years ago, but I am I almost thought I was 34. I am 33 years old. I've been out of the sneaker game for a while. Okay, what we're gonna do before we kick it over to some prop bets is we are going to tell you about the Locked On Eagles TeePublic.com store. Go to TeePublic.com, put in the search bar Locked On Eagles, or go to @LockedOnEagles on Twitter. You'll see the link on there on the timeline for the new shirt, the new design for the Super Bowl. We all we got. Mm-hmm. We all we need. Ben, I really love that design, man.
Oh, no, it's absolutely very fresh. And of course, because you are a Locked On Eagles listener, you get to know about the special deal. We have a promo code from TeePublic for you guys, 30% off, which will help you mitigate the cost of making sure to rise by the Super Bowl. That's All We Got 18 is the promo code. All We Got 18 for 2018, obviously. That is the promo code. Use that when you're checking out on the new shirt. You'll be able to get that by Super Bowl time.
Ben, if you had to guess, what would be the number one selling product on the Locked On Eagles store?
Please tell me it's the onesie.
It sure is, man. People are buying
yes!
in. People are buying
Of course
in.
They are. That is our strongest product, is the fact that we have little baby onesies. Mike, I'm considering stealing a baby just to put it in that onesie.
You heard it here first. Ben is into baby abduction. All right, so go to tpublic.com, go into the search bar, put in Locked On Eagles, get yourself a little teeny tiny baby onesie, get yourself the new we need t-shirt design from Locked On Eagles. Okay, moving on to prop bets, we are going to mybookie.ag, the number one betting sports book in the world, multiple
universe
worlds.
Actually
universe.
It just passed Mars's sports book, so it's universe now.
Really? I heard it's the best on Pluto too, even though it's not a planet, which is some bull crap.
Yeah, that's a tough time, man. Tough time for Pluto.
Let's go to the coin toss, since that's how every game pretty much starts. Who you got? Eagles win the coin toss or Patriots win the coin toss? And this is actually an interesting discussion too. This might seem like a throwaway kind of thing. If the Patriots win or the Eagles win, do you see them deferring and kicking?
Here's what I love. That there are, if you go to mybookie.ag, universe leading sports online sportsbook, you find under the coin toss Super Bowl 52 tab, you find four different prop bets.
Right.
Which, like, what are you doing? If you're betting on the coin toss, like, what are you doing? Stop it now. So their options are coin will land heads versus tails, Eagles win versus Patriots win, winner of coin toss wins Super Bowl, or winner of coin toss loses Super Bowl, and also correct call, wrong call. Oh, I guess that's like the visiting team calls heads and it lands tails.
Right.
That's so, all that's so deep. So that being said, I actually know exactly what's going to happen. Mm. The coin is going to land tails, Mike, because tails never fails.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots will win the coin toss. They will defer. And though, so, yeah, exactly. Now, who's calling it? The Eagles or the Patriots?
It would be the Eagles or the away team, right? Technically.
I don't know how they make that up. No,
that's
site.
Correct. Because if the Minnesota Vikings won, if they didn't lose 38-7 to the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, I remember
game,
that. That was a good game.
Yeah, it was a little while ago, but I remember it. But if they were to have won, they would have had to have gone into the away dressing room. I do remember that. So the NFC team is away team. So the Eagles will be calling it.
So the Eagles will call heads very foolishly because tails never fails. They'll get it wrong. The Patriots will win. The coin toss, that is, but they will also lose the Super Bowl. And so that's how that's going to go.
First team to score. Let's go to that prop bet. Eagles first at +105. Patriots first to score at -135. Who do you think scores first in this game? Especially now that we've considered and we predicted the future that the Patriots will be kicking to us first. Do we score first drive, Ben?
Yes, I do believe the Eagles score in their first
Boom.
Drive. I'm taking that number there. The reason I do is because we love the way that Dougie P is able to script this puppy open.
Mm-hmm.
And so I very much anticipate that he'll have a strong opening script in that regard, number one. And number two, as I go through the film more and more, I feel very comfortable with Philadelphia's bread and butter against this New England defense. I think that Philadelphia runs their offense out of 11 personnel predominantly, and that's where New England struggles with that personnel the most, is what I should say. And so I think Philadelphia will be able to work that well. I think that New England relies upon a lot of safety work in run support, which does not match up well when you've got Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount in the opposite backfield.
Right.
And then I anticipate that Doug Peterson does not put much on Nick Foles' plate to start. I anticipate he comes out with a much easier sort of a game plan, a time-consuming sort of a game plan to begin. Though, again, aggressive big balls Doug, so who knows? Either way, I like the Eagles to start off fast on the offense, and I think that they do score in the opening drive.
Do you think we spread them out? Because we talk a lot about this Patriots defense with the 4-3 even front with the odd concepts built in. You know, one gapping on one side, two gapping on the other, then bringing the safety down to really stifle the run. But the Eagles can spread it out. Do you see them spreading it out early, trying to get those 5-6 man boxes, playing the numbers, and running it that way instead of trying to bring in 12 or 21 personnel and slamming it into, you know, an 8-man box?
Define spreading it out, because
you can go trips with
this way.
Trips with a guy detached on the right side, and then you're running that, you know, that sweep or inside zone or whatever the case may be. Just something to get the safeties more, you know, out of the box with their passing responsibilities.
I think that, I'll put it to you this way. I think the Eagles don't spread it out any more than they usually do,
right,
versus any other team, but the Eagles base offense is pretty spread out to begin with.
Okay.
Because they're running the team out of 11, you know? So, like, yes and no.
Yeah. I gotcha. Okay. So, with the Eagles scoring first, what kind of score is that? Is it a pass? Is it a run? Is it a field goal? Is it a safety?
Yeah, why don't I
safety's
have
at,
to do this?
Safety's at +4,000.
Safety's at +4,000? I'll take those numbers. Right? I'm just saying, you put down like $10 there, you're making yourself a pretty penny.
Yeah.
Well, $400. Let's call it a touchdown. We're very effective in the red zone. I love all of these. Do the Eagles, does somebody score within the first 4.5 minutes? Yes or no? Does anybody score within the first 5.5 minutes? Yes or no? 6.5 minutes, 7.5 minutes. Who's it? Are there numbers on this? Do people actually put bets on this? Cause that'd be amazing.
They do. Because I remember on the Trump inauguration speech, there was a prop bet on the color of his tie. And I remember a couple people showing their winning tickets saying that it was going to be a red tie on Twitter. So, like,
okay, well, it's like, it's either red or blue. I don't know. This is dumb.
I'm going to say Aguilar, first touchdown, red zone pass, because he is heavily targeted in the red zone. They're going to try to do what they can against Ertz. He is, though. He's tied with
Ertz. He is. Are you taking your first red zone trip in the Super Bowl and throwing the football?
Yeah. Are you running on?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, why not? That's worked for us. The field compresses.
Maybe
it might be
like a little
tougher
like
to run.
Yeah, if it's like, you know, a little like swing pass sort of a situation, like something more gadgety than like an actual field read, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, maybe a jet sweep to Nelson Aguilar. Maybe that will work instead of just being a constraint play for later. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that type of thing. Get creative with it. Maybe that little inside zone type deal, that handoff we showed off against the Atlanta Falcons, maybe we pull that out again. I don't know. There's going to be some kind of crazy play call. And they use Nelson Aguilar in a variety mm-hmm. of ways. And he's tied with Ertz for red zone targets. So I just figure him against Eric Rowe. And we know about Eric Rowe. I really like right. that matchup. All right. So
Look, Philadelphia, New England, total points, odds or even. How do you have information that would let you be like make an educated guess here?
Oh, that's a
longest touchdown. Who has the longer touchdown? Who has more total field goals? Okay, wait. Actually, longest field goal. I will take Philadelphia on that one. Hashtag Jake Elliott. Who punts first? Who has the shortest field goal? Safety, yes or what? I don't know how this works.
Okay. Let's do this.
And they have like contingencies for if there's a fake punt attempt. This is ridiculous. Yeah. I can't handle this.
Okay, what about this? We'll do something a little more traditional. This is something that you like to do. I know it for a fact. Nick Foles pass yards. It's set at 250.5.
Yes.
And that's at negative 115 for both the over and the under. What would you say for that? Over or under 250.5?
250.5. I'll go under for Nick Foles. Only because I anticipate a much more nickely and dimey sort of an offense. Yeah. You know what I mean? Especially when you compare it to the one we saw against Minnesota. I will say that, like, I like that number, 250. That feels good for what we expect from Philadelphia. Obviously, I think that you'll be tempted by the over a little bit because you'll expect Philadelphia to be behind for a lot of people. But because I don't expect Philadelphia to be behind significantly during this game at all, then I'm going to take the under on 250. Fade the public.
Okay, what about I'm going to take the over. I feel like there might be some splash plays in there that we're not necessarily giving Foles credit for, even though like you said on BGN radio, you just did your spot with them yesterday that, you know, you can what is it, 1 in 9,000 that you get struck by lightning twice?
1 in 9 million.
1 in 9 million.
9 million.
9,000 would be a little low. It would be a little low. All right.
That'd be a lot of double lightning strikes, yeah.
Nick Foles completions 22.5. I kind of like the under there. Even though I think it might be dink and dunk, I think, you know, I think he maybe throws 55% kind of deal. And there's, and like I'm more the splash play guy, so I think there's going to be more yards per attempt than you do, but I think there's going to be less completion. So are you taking the over on that because of that?
See, that's interesting, because that if you're taking over on pass yards, under on completions, then you're expecting like 10 yards per attempt, which is heavy for me.
He did, so, man, yeah, he did 9.5 against the Vikings or something crazy,
right?
Like that.
Which is like very high for Nick Foles and for this offense in general. So I'm gonna take the over on the completions.
Okay. Tom Brady, let's go to his prop bets here. Oh, they also have one for most rush yards, Foles or Brady. Who you got?
Foles. That's easy one. That's free money.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so let's go to Brady. 285.5 yards, over or under. That's a tough one for me, man. That's a real, because they might go down and he could have 300 yards, maybe a little over in a losing effort just trying to play catch up.
Yeah, to me that's over because that's what I expect for game script.
Right. And then 26.5 completions, I'm going to go over as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I very much anticipate Brady will have a fine statistical day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't he?
Start.
He's Tom Brady in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I very much expect Philadelphia is still able to beat him where it counts.
Yeah, and they're going to get pressure on him. They're going to frustrate him early, and we've seen that before with the Brady team. We just have to keep our foot on the pedal when it gets down to it. Stay aggressive. Not get too cute as well, because that's bitten teams in the past.
I agree. This is an interesting one. Tom Brady, INT, yes or no? What are you taking?
Ooh.
It's +110 for yes, -140 for no.
Ooh. I'm going to take yes. I think but I don't think it comes in like the traditional way. I think it's kind of like the Case Keenum where he gets touched by, you know, Chris Long in the armpit.
Right.
And something goes floating. You know what I mean? Because I do think we are going to get pressure. So it's I either got a sack fumble or I got an interception. One of those I believe is happening.
Yeah. For me, there's no way I'm not, like, with +110, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that simply because Philadelphia is going to cause enough pressure.
Right.
That one's interesting.
Yeah, I like that. What about
Whether or not he tosses a touchdown pass by quarter, this is so dumb. I mean, yes for the fourth quarter, and then everyone else doesn't matter.
Okay, the big one, halftime show, Justin Timberlake. What color hat? White, black, brown / beige, red, blue, green, yellow. What color hat?
Okay, what?
It's at +1600 for yellow.
What?
Kind of like in the red.
What if he doesn't wear a hat?
Well, then I think there's also, that's also one too. Does he wear a hat is right above that, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, no, wait, that's the color of the Gatorade. We'll get to that one in a second.
Oh, no, this is color of his shoes.
Oh, there is a
What if he doesn't wear shoes, Mike? Now, here's the question. What if he rolls out in socks?
So it's negative 200 that he doesn't wear a hat at the start. So they're saying he has to wear it at the start. He can't put one on halfway through. Very right, specific. Okay.
That's very interesting. All right, I'll put it this way. Firstly, I'll take plus 1,300 on red because I feel for like red shoes.
For sure. I really like for, that.
Like
yeah.
that. I like that number. You know what I mean? I still would anticipate like black or white or whatever, but I'll take red at plus 1,300. Whatever. I don't know what I'm doing right now. I'm just firing on all cylinders. Yeah. Will he wear a hat to start the show? I'll put it to you this way. I wouldn't put a hat on in the middle of the show. You know, or wait, no, I would. Here's why. Yes, so no to start, and then yes, because your hair gets messed up when you're jumping around stage and screaming and doing nonsense, everything like that, right? So you start with your hair all nice and nice, and then you put a hat on halfway through the show when it starts to get messed up.
Well, here's my thing. This ties in with the other prop bet. He must clearly sing a Prince song or part of a Prince song as a cover. Does Prince usually wear a hat? Because I feel like if he were to do that cover in the middle of the show, you may be able to double up with the hat. Find out the color of hat the Prince would usually wear. You know what I mean? And really,
dude, you're still tied up on hat color. It's not hat color. It's shoe color. No, this is very important prop bet work that our listeners need, Michael. And I need you to pull it together and be professional.
All right, Mom. My apologies. Okay, let's get it. Let's get it back to the game. MVP. Who you got?
Brandon Graham.
Ooh.
Brandon Graham ends the game with 2.5 sacks, and I believe he also helps create the interception on. That Tom Brady throws that I'm betting on. Brandon Graham is my MVP for the game. I anticipate a balanced sort of offense from Philadelphia. Maybe Jay Ajayi gets like, you know, some MVP buzz on the offensive side. Obviously, if Nick Foles is having a good game, QB's always going to get that. Mm. But I would really like it if a defensive guy got it. And I think that Brandon Graham is in line for a big one. You know, he's had such a productive season. He's got that contract extension that's been good for him and everything like that. And he is right there. You know, Brandon Graham, very interesting situation with his contract where he's the top of tier two edge rushers in the NFL. Is he going to be able to demand tier one money? Is a big question. Brandon Graham can make himself like $10 million in the future by putting out a Super Bowl MVP performance on Sunday. So I think he'll have a big game.
Not only that, he's plus 8,000. Jake Elliott is plus 5,000. So you get paid out.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, like that's kind of stupid. Rookie kicker at plus 5,000. That's a little dumb. I love some of these. Corey Graham at 20,000.
Yeah,
Eagles third safety.
He's gonna have
an exceptional day. Philip Dorsett at 25,000 for New England. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, you never know, man. Super Bowl makes some weird bedfellows for MVP. Nelson Aguilar, I'm riding this train, man. I'm going with that at 3,300. I feel
plus
pretty confident with that. Yeah, it's not bad. Not the greatest payout. Not a Jake Elliott, Brandon Graham payout, but I like it. I like it. Definitely not.
What am I getting for Brandon Graham? 8,000?
8,000. That's a solid bet, man. That's a real solid bet.
Like
he's going to eat on the edges
that.
For sure. Derek Barnett is the same at 8,000. I feel that's a little disrespectful to Graham. Graham's going to get more snaps, but Derek Barnett is going to be in there for the pass rushing snaps. They have that deep rotation. And that's what's interesting to me. This rotation, when you have Graham, Long, Curry, like the whole lineup, especially in the interior too, they're not going to wear down like the Falcons pass rush wore down against Brady. They're fresh. Right. They're going to be fresh through the entire game. They're going to play all four quarters, which is nice. So I like that. I like that pick there. Zach Ertz at only plus 2,000. Getting him on a safety and a linebacker, Burton as well, is going to be big for us. Any other prop bets that are catching your eye before we wrap this puppy up?
Did we do the Gatorade shower? Because that's very important to me, I think.
Oh, yeah. Before that, Pink must be airborne from first note sang until she finishes saying Brave for the first time. She does a lot of that rope work. Pink does a lot of rope work.
Wait, where is this? Is this on our entertainment tab?
This is, it's right under the special props decision. It's right under the Justin Timberlake stuff.
Okay.
Is she going to do some rope work? She does a lot
so
of
what,
it.
She has to be...
Airborne. From
airborne?
The first note sang until she finishes saying Brave for the first time. Will Pink be airborne during the national anthem? I'm going to go yes at plus 300. I like that bet.
No. I'll comfortably take no because that would be so hard physically to sing and support like with breath control in the air. That's madness.
Look,
I like the one below it.
She does it a lot, man. I'm telling you, that's an underdog bet right there. You got okay, it. That's my bookie lock of the week.
Okay. Well, my lock of the week will be from the moment she sings the first note until she finishes saying "Brave" for the first time. Wait a minute, "Brave" for the first time. Okay. Jose, can you see that? Was the light? What's wrong with the time?
You're saying she's gonna forget it and omit a word?
I'm gonna take no on that. No one is gonna ever forget or omit a word again because of how dumb that was and how embarrassing that was. I didn't realize "Brave" is in the Star Spangled Banner twice, dude.
Nah.
See, that changes everything. Now so many different analytics have to go into how long this takes. I don't know what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, we're going
to
be working on this all week, these halftime show takes, for real.
My favorite thing is when they have to specify the times, like color of Bill Belichick's shirt at kickoff, as if he's going to change his shirt. It's so dumb.
I'm going to go with gray. I'm going to go with the hoodie, the gray hoodie. What do you think?
Right. I'll put it this way. Patricia usually rocks the red.
Right.
The defense coordinator. You have to be able to see him. He sticks out. McDaniels, I think, very often in the white or the blue,
correct,
if memory serves.
Correct.
Which leads me to believe that it would be gray, but that'd be the hoodie for Belichick, most likely. So that's shirt number. Is shirt different than hoodie? Are they talking about his exterior shell? Not clear enough, my bookie. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's indoors or kind of indoors or whatever. But, oh, did you see Bill Belichick at Media Day when the guy asked him, or he didn't ask him, he came out and said, the Patriots haven't scored a first quarter in the Super Bowl. And he's like, thanks. And the guy, like, froze. So he tried to finish the rest of his question. He's like, yeah, we try to score every drive. I think that's obvious. And the guy, like, he was going to crap. We're not supposed to love him this week. I just love staring through a reporter's soul from any head coach, and no one does it like Bill Belichick, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm working on a piece for Bleeding Green Nation about kind of how much I hate the Patriots, and a big part of it is the fact that Belichick has enough vested power in the league to do stuff like that, for which other coaches would be absolutely crucified.
Yeah,
which I don't know. It's frustrating to me. That's smug, but I do appreciate it. Like, it is pretty funny as well.
Ben, what else do we have for the gentle listeners?
What's up, gentle listeners? It's been a hot second since we had a little post-show breakdown. This show coming out to you guys on Wednesday. That's the 31st, the last day of January. Thursday and Friday, we'll be looking to finish up this here preview. Thursday will likely begin again with Mark Schofield of Locked On Patriots. That'll be the episode for you guys. Breaking down, instead of this time, the Philadelphia defense against the Patriots offense. We'll be going to the opposite side of the ball. That's how the Philadelphia offense may look to attack this Patriots defense. To me, that's the big matchup. Obviously, the Philadelphia defense going to play a huge part. They've been powering this playoff run, but I really think this Philadelphia offense can hang it on the Patriots. I truly do. And it'd be really interesting to see what Mark thinks about that. He's been doing an insane amount of work over at LockedOnPatriots.com. A lot of film stuff. Very fun to see those breakdowns from the enemy's eyes. Friday will be the usual breakdown show. We'll obviously have had about three breakdowns to this point of everything, so we'll be putting a bow on, you know, the biggest game here in 2018. That's the Super Bowl, by the way. That's the last game you play in the NFL. The Eagles made it to that, by the way. But that's what we're looking at. Obviously, stay locked in at LockedOnEagles.com for all of our written content as well, which supports all of our audio content that you catch here. We do appreciate you listening so much to Locked On Eagles. On whatever app you listen to your podcast, please leave a 5-star rating exclusively and a review. We're very lucky, dude. 86 ratings. Last time we updated it, we were around 70.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, 14 ratings, about 5 days left for the Super Bowl. Very interesting to see how close we can get to triple digits in that time. And, of course, regardless of the outcome on Sunday, Mike and I have big draft break backgrounds. So we're very excited to be bringing you some of the best draft content you're going to get on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you so much for listening.
Keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Kaka! I'm feeling it.
You've been really hitting those hard lately.
Because it's the end of the season.
I know, dude. You only got so many kakas left, man.
I mean, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm just saying, like, I'm very excited.